Welcome to the Hope City Church podcast. We're so glad you're here. Wherever you're listening from, get ready for a powerful message that will inspire your faith, challenge you to grow, and remind you that there's always hope in Jesus. Let's lean in and hear what God has for us today.
Amen. My God on today. I'm going to try to stay in step with what God is doing and not jump ahead of him. We are currently in our series called Step Off the Podium. And I think after being here just about 5 years, I've accepted that every single series that we do here will require some form of action on our part if we want to see the fruit of the thing that we're being challenged with. Hey, friend. And this series is no different. I don't know if you were here last week, but I feel like last week was probably my top two favorite Sundays that I've had since I've been here. One, the Sunday I was right here. And, you know, something about the apostle, Pastor Paula, when she ministers to you and she looks deep into your soul and says the thing that you know God is saying on your behalf and it gets you. That was one of those for me. Last Sunday, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, if you don't have to miss a Sunday, please don't miss it. There is something special that happens when we all come together here and God shows up and his presence falls and things just change and it's powerful. Today, we are going to be zooming in on a conversation that Jesus is having with two of his disciples and the disciples' mother. Something that I want to highlight is that on one side of this conversation, we see a parent advocating on behalf of her children, which is a great thing to do, okay? Ask me how I know. I'm the Janelle pastor. My name is Shaq. We haven't met. Hey, hi, friend. Which means I just oversee all things to do with kids. And some of you come to me very passionately advocating on behalf of your kids, okay? I'm not going to look nowhere in this room because anyways. On the other half of this conversation, we see a son speaking on behalf of his father. On one hand, we see a mother advocating for her kids. On the other half, we see a son speaking on behalf of his father. As we take a look into the story, we're going to see that who or what you're submitted to will dictate what you're willing to sacrifice. Who or what you're submitted to will dictate what you're willing to sacrifice. And here's the thing, friends. None of us in here have trouble sacrificing, okay? I'm going to ask us a few questions, and I need you to know this is a safe space, no judgment, okay? Where are my lactose intolerant people in the room? Just give me a little. Okay, I see y'all smiling. I see y'all out there. You know that dairy is going to tear up your entire gastrointestinal system. But baby, when you want that dairy, when you want that cheeseburger or that milkshake or a little bit of chocolate, guess what? You're gonna sacrifice your entire body to have it because the sacrifice is worth the reward. Some of you, when we get to the end of the month and there's $30, $40 left in your bank account, you put half of that money in your gas tank because guess what? We got to get to work. We got to get to school. And then you take that other half and you spend it on Amazon. You spend it on burgers and Chipotle. My second row on Dutch Bros. Come on, somebody. Why? Because the sacrifice is worth the reward. All of my people in here who set health goals at the beginning of 2026 and you're still sticking to it, baby, I see you and I'm proud of you. Because when you pull up to that In-N-Out drive-thru and you want a 3x3 with cheese, animal style, you don't ask for bread. You say, let me get it protein style. And they wrap that burger up in that lettuce and you enjoy it because the sacrifice is worth the reward. Because here we all know that the greatest evil in the world is bread, okay? Baby, bread is gonna get you every time. Now this next one, I need y'all to know, no judgment. This is a safe place. We love you. Baby, some of y'all vapors and smokers, y'all be risking your lungs and your breathing capacity. You got that fruity, tooty, fresh and fruity and not vape. And baby, you out here blowing clouds because you need to relax and calm down. And it's negative 2 degrees outside, but you still gonna vape. Because the reward is worth the sacrifice. Help me, Jesus. That was funny. Some of y'all was laughing. I said, yeah, that's you. Now when I see you outside, you're like, I'm not a vape no more. Oh my God. We will sacrifice to get the things that we want. And as we zoom in on the scripture today, we are going to see that the cost and reward of sacrifice, that there's a cost and a reward of sacrifice. Today, we're going to jump into the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. This is just after where the apostles shared last week that Jesus had just got done speaking to his disciples to let them know that he's getting prepared to be crucified on the cross. And this is where we pick up the story following that conversation, starting in verse 20. It says, then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. What is your request? He asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus answered by saying to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink? Oh, yes, sure are, they replied. We are able. Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. They were frustrated. They were ticked off. They were offended. But Jesus called all of them together. Jesus is so emotionally intelligent. You notice how he didn't step over here and say, I wish you guys would have pulled me aside. No, he said, everybody come together and let's talk about this. He's so emotionally intelligent. He called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. Verse 26, but among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. That word slave right there is the Greek word for doulos. It means total surrender. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, usually when we pull this set of scriptures out, there is an emphasis on the greatest among you must be a servant. And today I want to hone in on a different perspective of these scriptures. And while that is true, there is a prerequisite before we get to that portion. The first thing we see happening here is we have a mother who is concerned for her kids' eternity. And as a parent, if you are going to be concerned about anything, being concerned for your kids' eternity is number one on that list, okay? It is a priority to be concerned with what happens after we move from this life to the next. I don't know about you, but I can relate to this mother that after we're done here, I want to be up there with Jesus. And I relate to that because James and John's mother is aware of who Jesus is and what he's capable of doing based upon his ministry so far. See, the mother knows that Jesus is preparing to go to the cross to be crucified, so she feels the sense of urgency to connect with Jesus before he's gone. Now, when I read this, I feel like the mother is basically asking for her kids to get priority seating in heaven, meaning that after they pass from here, they want heaven's limo service to pick up her two sons, drop them off at God's palace, and sit them right next to the Father. My girl is asking for priority. You didn't read that? Let me show you what it says. In Matthew 20, verses 21, it says, "What is your request?" he asked. She replied, "In your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, next to the throne of the Father." That's what she's saying. One on your right and the other on your left. Now, we can look at this story, and in a sense, firsthand, we can feel like this is a very selfless request. Because she did not ask to be included. She didn't say, "Hey, Jesus, here's $500. Please let all of us get to the front of the line when we get there." She didn't say that. She said, "God, can you please allow my sons to sit next to you?" But I think we can't overlook that at some point, all of us are just like her. Because she understood what it means to be in proximity to Jesus, but not the cost of being submitted to him. I don't know about you, but oftentimes we want the benefit from being in proximity to Jesus without being fully surrendered to him. You want him to bless your finances without actually trusting him with your finances. You want him to forgive you without actually responding with forgiveness. You want him to help you with your kids get some act right when God can't even convict you without you getting the attitude about it. You show up on Sunday, you're in a life group, you read your Bible, you pray, and you mark off all of the religious practices because that's technically what we're supposed to be doing. And you say, "Check, I made it to church on Sunday. Okay, I made it to life group this week. Check. All right, I read my Bible this week. Check." And you're just going through the motions of religious practices and you never allow the gospel to actually transform your heart. Because you've surrendered to religious practices and you haven't surrendered to King Jesus. And this is the first thing I pulled out of this text is you can know about Jesus without being known by him. We are existing in a time where many know about the God of the Bible. If you go anywhere on the internet, you will see people who have never stepped foot in the church know the Bible better than people who preach it. True. There are many people who know what Jesus has done and the sacrifice he paid. They know the power of the Holy Spirit, yet they have no access to Father God because there's been no surrender. Because in order to be known by our Savior, you first have to surrender to him. And surrender requires intimacy. Now, I can tell you all the things that I love about the apostle, Pastor Paula. I can tell you all of her great qualities. I can tell you how big her heart is. I can tell you why she's one of the best pastors alive today, because that is true. But until you take time to get to know her, you actually don't know her. You're just getting secondhand information. There's no actual relationship between you two. It's the same thing with Jesus. We want the benefits of intimacy with him without actually getting to know him. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. While salvation requires belief and confession, sanctification requires daily crucifying of your flesh. Sanctification is really just a big Christian word that means being set apart by God for his plans and purposes and being transformed into his likeness. Salvation is the prerequisite for sanctification. Salvation means I now am entering into a relationship with Jesus and I'm turning away from my old life. Sanctification is now I'm taking steps into my new life to learn what it looks like to live, speak, think, and love like Jesus. And here's the thing, friend, it's going to cost you something. The disciples' mom is doing what she believes is the best, is in the best interest of her children because she knows the power and authority Jesus walks in. She knows it. She is not oblivious. There was a reason why she went directly to the source. But she does not understand what it is going to cost to live like him. In this situation, the mother is used to being the ultimate authority and priority in her son's lives. What she says goes. If I tell your kids to sit down and be quiet, it's going to carry a different authority than if you say sit down and be quiet. Why? Because you are their covering. They know that when you use that voice, and every parent has that voice, they know we are not playing games anymore, and I better sit down and pay attention. She is used to being that for her sons. She is used to being their covering. But in order to be like Jesus, you have to surrender to his authority. In order to have access to the power that Jesus has, you have to be submitted to his authority. Which really means he gets the final say, friends. Whatever he asks, your response is obedience. Notice how I didn't say it's yes, no, or maybe. Because obedience means something different for all of us. How he may be asking me to be obedient may look different than how he is asking you to be obedient. This is why we can never live our lives in comparison. While her intentions were good, her request was out of order. And we see this based upon Jesus' response to her in the most loving way, because Jesus is just that guy. In Matthew 20, starting in verse 21, it says, "What is your request?" he asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and one on your left. But Jesus answered by saying to them, you don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Oh, yes, they replied, we are able. But Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. And this is the second thing I've pulled from this set of scripture, is following Jesus will cost you. All of you. Following Jesus will cost you. It will cost all of you. See, the reason Jesus asked them if they're able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering is because Jesus knew he was preparing to pay the ultimate price. He was preparing to be the ultimate sacrifice, to pay the price for our sins, not only die, but rise again to give us the opportunity for all of us in sacrifice in exchange for him. It cost Jesus everything to die for you. It cost Jesus everything to die for me. And often in church, we overlook how gruesome Jesus's death was, because truthfully, we tend to promote a sanctified Jesus. A do whatever you want and it's okay Jesus. The come as you are and stay as you are Jesus. The Jesus that says anything goes at any time. But truthfully, Jesus was whipped and beaten. His flesh was ripped off his body. Jesus was spat on. He was mocked. He was humiliated. And the Bible says that he was unrecognizable as a man. And this is the bitter cup that Jesus was referring to, that he would lovingly endure for you and I. So if you want to be like Jesus, you must surrender your whole life for the rest of your life. Because when you come into a relationship with Jesus, you step into a new nature. Meaning that your flesh, your worldly desires, the things that you naturally run to instead of him are no longer your default. Those things are no longer the things that you run to, because now you have surrendered them to Jesus, and now he is the thing that you run to. Meaning that your spirit man, the thing that God connects us with, that's the default nature now. And that requires you to have to sacrifice your flesh. And here's the thing about our flesh, friends. All of us have desires that create barriers between us and God. All of us have human desires. And when we look at the example of Jesus, he was fully God, meaning that he was in perfect relationship with the Father, but he was also 100% man, meaning he was subject to the same things that we are subject to. it's important to know that God is not asking us for perfection. He is not asking us to get it right every time, because guess what? We don't have the capacity to do so. I don't have the capacity to get it right all the time, because I'm still human. But my default nature now recognizes the thing that God is asking me to do versus the thing that I want to do. And this is where we live in this tension of spirit and flesh, because there will always be a fight between the two. No matter how mature you are in your relationship with God, whether you're hearing about him for the first time today or you've been in church for 50 years, all of us while on this side of heaven will be in tension between our spirit person and our flesh, and they will never get along. Which is why you have to learn to live like Jesus and have access to him, because he's given you authority over your flesh. He's given you a way to conquer that flesh. I think Colossians is such a good book. If you are just beginning your journey with Jesus, I would encourage you to start in Colossians and then move through the Gospels. In Colossians 3, starting in verse 1, in the Amplified Version, it says, "Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." You don't have to beg. Set your mind and keep focused habitually, regularly, consistently, daily, hourly, every second on the things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value. For you died to this world, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And here's where we have to learn to participate. This is the part that requires action. So put to death and deprive of power the evil longings of your earthly body with its sensual, self-centered instincts, immorality, impurity, sinful passion, evil desire, and greed, which is a kind of idolatry because it replaces your devotion to God. You get the benefit of what you are devoted to. When you are devoted to your flesh, you get fleshly rewards. That's why you can't get out of that anger. That's why you have to keep running back to porn. That's why you keep running back to that toxic relationship, because you are devoted to the pleasure of your flesh. Because of these sinful things, the divine wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, those who fail to listen and who routinely and absolutely disregard God's precepts. That really just means his authority and commands. And in these sinful things, you also once walked when you were habitually living in them without the knowledge of Christ, meaning now you know. But now rid yourselves completely of all these things: anger, rage, malice, slander, and obscene, abusive, filthy, vulgar language from your mouth. Isn't it wild how powerful our words are? Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new spiritual self, who is being continually renewed in true knowledge in the image of him who created the new self. If you proclaim to be a Christian, if you proclaim to be a follower of Christ, there should be evidence. One of my favorite things to say is, you could tell me whatever you want, but fruit doesn't lie. Fruit does not lie. You could tell me you're an apple tree all you want, but when I see those lemons growing, you can say you're a Christian all you want, but if there's no fruit of the Spirit. Wow. Which leads me to the third thing that I pulled out of this context, or these texts, is sanctification requires living in the light. Yes. Sanctification, learning to be set apart and becoming like Jesus, requires that we live in the light. Hey, friends. It's time to come out of hiding. It's time to come out of hiding. And this is not the first time you've sensed that. You've been feeling a draw from God. You've been feeling him talking to you about it. You've been feeling the frustration of the things you've been going back to don't satisfy like they used to. You know the tension. Maybe you haven't had language, but you know the tension. And God has been tugging on your heart saying, I have better for you. It's time to come out of hiding. It's time to come out of hiding. And here's the thing. We think that when God points something out in us, that he uses shame and anger to convince us otherwise. God is not a God of shame. He's not a God of anger. He doesn't use guilt to persuade us. The Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. Maybe you're here today and you wrestle with the fence. And nobody can tell you anything. Nobody can say anything to you. Nobody can correct you in any way. Nobody can hold you accountable in any way. And your natural response is offense. Maybe today is the day of repentance for you. And we talk about repentance is a moment where God highlights something that can no longer go with you. Something that he wants from you so that he can give more of himself to you in return. And repentance is saying, God, I recognize that I messed up. I recognize that I ran back to that thing again. I recognize that I did something that hurt your heart, but I don't want to do that anymore. And I'm leaving that here. And I'm turning to you. And now I'm walking towards you. And I want to be obedient to what you're asking of me. That's really what repentance is. Maybe you show up here on Sundays into life groups, and baby, you walk in here with a smile. You and your family look like all the things are going well. You give the hugs, you sing the songs, and then you walk out of here and you unleash your anger on the people you love, unlike anything we have ever seen. And you show up here and you put on a facade, and then you go home and you lash out and you yell and you neglect and you abuse with your words. And God has been confronting you about this. And today's your day to repent of that thing and turn away from it. Maybe you understand what it's like to be caught in a cycle of addiction. An addiction could be many, many things. It could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be perfectionism, it could be porn, you could be addicted to gambling, you could be addicted to sex, you could be addicted to all kinds of things. You add in whatever it is for you, you know what it is. This is a safe place here. And Father God is a gentleman. And when he sees you stuck in those things and running to those things, he doesn't look at you with shame. He says, this is my son and my daughter in whom I love and I have better for you. And the way we turn away from those things is, God, we repent and we take ownership of the things that we've done. And we say, God, I receive your love in exchange, because what you're actually searching for is intimacy. Actually, what you're searching for is wholeness, because you've gone back to that thing again and again and again. And if it worked, you wouldn't have to go back to it. Wow. Right. Some of you walked in here today having some kind of affair. And maybe it's with that work wife and that work husband. And maybe it hasn't turned physical, but emotionally you are bonded to this person. This is the person that you run to and you confide in, and that is not your partner or your spouse. Maybe you are so tied to your friendships that you can't even go a day without them. You get anxiety when they're not with you. You are so tied to this person. Maybe you have apps on your phone that you shouldn't have. Maybe you're texting somebody that you shouldn't be texting. And this is a safe place to repent of that thing. Maybe some of you in here need to repent to your partner or your spouse. And this is the day to reconcile so that God can help you heal and move forward. See, we come to church with all of these things and we want to act like we don't have problems when we go home. All of us are jacked up, friends. All of us have something to bring to the cross. All of us have something that Jesus wants to get from us so he can get more of himself to us. I'm just calling it out so you feel comfortable. All of us have something. I have stuff God is dealing with me. I was up here repenting this morning. I have things that I have to give to God too, friend. And I'm just letting you know he's never asked anything from me that what I got from him wasn't better. It's always better. It's always better. And you know this. Some of you struggle with shame. And you struggle with this inner dialogue that says, if they really knew me, if God really knew me, he would be so ashamed. And maybe you have sexual misuse in your past. Maybe you have trauma in your past. Maybe you grew up in an abusive environment in your past. And I want to be really sensitive to this. Some of you have shame so deeply rooted in you. And the reason why you can't get out of that cycle, the reason why you never feel like you're in your right mind, is because you're looking for healing from the Father. Only God can heal those things. Ask me how I know. I come from a family of divorce. I come from a family of sexual misuse. I come from a family of abandonment. I spent over half of my life not growing up with one of my parents. Abandonment and shame was so deeply rooted in me. And our pastors had us come up here to be prayed for this time last year in January. And God was specifically dealing with the area of PTSD. And I couldn't get out of addiction. I couldn't get out of like pornography addiction. I couldn't get out of it. And the apostle and Pastor Cherie took me to that office back there. And they prayed over me. And they asked that God would heal me of those things and uproot that shame root in my life. I don't know if I've ever been in my right mind until that moment. This is a safe place to heal. So as we close, I know the ending of these verses says, but among you will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. We can't even be a servant without surrender. This part doesn't even matter until you surrender. You can't even think about how to help others until you get help yourself. So we're gonna do two things here. If you're in this room today and you have not begun a relationship with Jesus and you feel that tug on your heart, like your heart's racing, your mind feels a bit scattered, maybe your body's like heating up, you're like, oh, I don't know. I want you to go back to our next steps. There's four people in the back. Can you guys raise your hands, please? If you're ready to give your life to Jesus today, if you are ready to confess and believe that he is the Lord of your life, he is the ultimate authority and priority, please go back and see one of our four next steps teams, okay? The rest of us, we're gonna have a moment. And this is an invitation to repentance. This is an invitation to turn from the thing that has created the barrier between you and God. This is the moment where you get to let yourself out of that prison and out of that cycle. This is where you give yourself permission to no longer be tormented by your past. This is the moment where you get to decide. I can't decide for you. You have to decide. And this is what repentance looks like. I'm gonna invite you to come up front and kneel before the Father. And I want you to tell him all of the things. Because guess what? He already knows. Yeah. And he loves you still. And he wants healing and freedom for you still. And maybe as I've been talking, there's been something that's been coming to the surface. And if you're angry right now, that's good. God wants to deal with that. If you're frustrated right now, good. God wants to deal with that. If that thing that happened in your past is coming up, good. God wants to deal with that thing. But he's not going to take it from you. You have to give it to him. Because he is a gentleman and he is kind. And so if this is you today, there's no embarrassment here. There's no shame here. I'm just going to invite you to come and just have a moment with Father God. I'm just going to invite you to come and kneel at the altar before your Father and have a moment of repentance and a moment of healing and a moment for him to pour his love out on you. Because that's really why we're here. That's really what he wants to do. And here's the thing. Some of your friends might not go. Some of the people you came with might not come up with you, and that's okay. And maybe it's not their time yet, but if God is tugging on your heart, friend, it's your time. He's here. He wants to meet with you. He wants to speak with you. The thing that you've been pleading with him about to help you with, help is here. So whenever you're ready, the altar is open. And we're just going to give a moment to have time with the Father.
Thanks for tuning in to Hope City Church. If this message encouraged you, share it with a friend and help spread the hope. If you'd like to support what God is doing through Hope City, you can give anytime at myhopecity.church/give. Your generosity helps us reach more people with the message of Jesus. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a week. We can't wait to connect with you again. And remember, no matter what you're facing, there is hope in Jesus. We hope you have an amazing week.